It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell.
Amen. Hostess with the mostest.
Hostess with the mostest. I don't know the mostest what yet, but it's the mostest, whatever it is.
There you go. We'll find out by the end of the hour.
Right on. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cable1.net. Sister Sue is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Apostle Casey Elliott with Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing great. She can finally get that name out.
Yeah. I have to rehearse it in my head.
Amen.
Because I don't want to make a mistake.
Ah, you're good.
We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Again, if you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to hourofpower@cable1.net. Or you can post it to our Facebook page, and we'll get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln here in Elk City, Oklahoma. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, reach out to Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln here in Elk City. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all. Would you pray to start us out? I need it this morning.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe those people from Barbara Dyson, if they're hearing, God will touch their heart. Just bring me a pickup up here to Joshua's Crossing. Leave it out. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We always need prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for another chance to be here, God, in your presence, God, with your among fellow believers. God, we just thank you for those that are listening over the airways today. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that their day is already great. Their day is already blessed. And Lord, that they just have to walk in that promise and that revelation. But Lord, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Amen. Staying connected.
Staying connected. And we're going to talk about staying connected. And I mean, sometimes you have to get reconnected.
Come on.
And so we're going to talk about both of those. We're going to kind of go over around a little bit. But, you know, I heard one thing that I've been hearing Christians say is, I don't know how people that don't know God can get through this. I don't know how they're making it in this time. And, you know, that's true. We have to be connected to God in this time, in this day, and in this hour. And, you know, that's the only way that we can make it through. And so, you know, the question today, what or who is your source? You know, is it Joe Biden? Is it Donald Trump? Is it the government? You know, was it the stimulus checks, you know, or is it God? Amen. Only God can see us through. But I want to go to, I want to start out with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes we need to be reminded that, you know, there's one well-known pastor on TV and maybe others that do that. But, you know, they give this message that, you know, they preach a message like, you know, once you come to Jesus, everything's going to be great. No more troubles. You know, it's almost like being at a resort, lounging beside the pool. You know, everything's going to be great. But I don't know what world they're living in, and I don't know what Bible they read, because my Bible tells me that we will face persecution, that we will face trials and tribulation. And you know, 1 Peter 4:12 even says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has taken place among you to test you." You know, and so there's different reasons that we go through things. You know, we always want to blame it on the enemy. Well, the devil this, the devil that, and you know, sometimes we point the blame at him when we should really be pointing it at ourselves. And So sometimes we point the blame without it. You know, oh, that devil did this. No, that devil didn't do that. You did this, you know. And but sometimes we forget that, you know, we're testing us. You know, in school, you can't get promoted until you pass tests. And so we always go through seasons of testing. But today I want to look at from the perspective of not us or not being tested, but of the enemy. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, it says, "Be sober and be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Wow. We now we know he doesn't stop. He doesn't rest. He doesn't. He don't take the night off. He even while we're sleeping, he's up. He's up working. And you know, there was somebody, I heard somebody praying on Facebook yesterday, and they were talking about the scripture, and they said, "I refuse to be the devil's next meal." I refuse to be the devil's next meal. And thought, wow, you know. But, you know, we're in a time now where the devil don't care who you are. He don't care your last name. He don't care if you're a lay member, if you're a minister. He don't care what title you have behind your name or before your name. He's going after everybody. And verse 9 says, "Resist him firmly in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." You know, so many times right now we think we're the only ones going through. Oh man, you know, why me? Why me? But in reality, it's not just me. It's we're all going through, you know. And but you know, this gives us assurance that we're not alone. You know, we're not alone in two ways. We're not alone because we're not the only ones going through it, and we're not alone because we have God. And so verse 10 says, "But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You know, they always talk about Oklahoma. They say, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and it'll change. Whatever is going on now, it'll pass. And the same thing right here. It said, if you're going through something, you know, the Bible tells us be anxious about nothing. But, you know, the Bible tells us right here, after just a little while, this is going to pass. And God will restore us. He'll strengthen us. And he will establish you. And so, hallelujah. You know, one thing that the enemy wants, the reason that it reminds us that we're not alone is because so many times the enemy wants us to feel isolated. He wants us to feel like we're the only ones suffering. And so, you know, if you watch National Geographic, when the lions are going after their kill or their next meal, they will, you know, they'll look for the ones that are weak, the ones that are sick in their body, the ones that are off by themselves. And so the enemy will make you feel like you're the only one going through. And, you know, he wants to get you isolated, giving up, getting weak. And we can't do that. The Bible says that we have to resist him firmly in faith. And that he will see us through, and that he will establish us and restore us and strengthen us and support us. How do we do that? How do we do that? Just like we said, people are saying, I couldn't do this without God. How do people make it without God? That's the key right there. Staying connected to God. You know, in the morning when we wake up, throughout the day, when we go to bed, you know, we're supposed to you know, stay in contact with him, stay connected to him. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, you know, what does that look like? You know, some people feel like they're connected with God just by going to church on Sundays, you know. And in the real bad case, some people feel connected to God when they go to church on Easter and Christmas. You know, they feel they go to church two times a year, and, you know, they make a big deal out of it. Oh, it's Easter. Y'all get, you know, we're going to go buy Easter dresses, and we're going to go to church, and, you know, then we're going to go to Christmas Mass or whatever. But people have different degrees of relationships and, you know, their own personal views of being connected, of how well connected they are. But, you know, in this season, we have to be very connected to God. Bible, there's that song that says, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Amen. If we're not connected to God in this season, guess what? We're going to miss what he's doing. And because with that, when we're connected to God, that's when revelation flows. That's when he can speak to his children and give us insight, instruction, you know, revelation, knowledge, wisdom. And so we have to stay connected. What does it look like to really be connected to God? Think about the story of Mary and Martha. And in Luke chapter 10, you know, the Bible says that, you know, we know from later on in Luke that these are the sisters of Lazarus. And so, you know, that ain't the first, whenever Lazarus is being raised from the dead, that's not the first time they met Jesus. They were, the Bible said that they were friends with, they considered him a friend. And, chapter 10, verse 38 says, as they went, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted by much serving, and she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that... Do you not care that Martha... Where are we at here? Well, I lost it. But he talks about how that... my Bible's missing a page or something. Talks about how Mary's just sitting down at the feet of Jesus. And here Martha's, you know, doing all the cooking, doing all the dishes. And so she tells Jesus, she says, don't you care that she's sitting down there by you and she's leaving me to do all this work? you know, sometimes, you know, I've heard it preached, and sometimes we think about, you know, here's Martha. Oh, here it is. That my sister has left me to do, to serve alone, then tell her to help me. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, Martha didn't even know who she had in her house. I've heard it preached that. She didn't know who she had in her house, or she wouldn't be up doing that stuff. But what if she did know who was in her house, and she wanted to be, you know, the perfect host? And, you know, that's why she was frustrated with Mary, because she's like, hey, you know, we got Jesus in this house. You know, we got to take care of him. We got to give him the very best. I can't do this all myself. And so I don't think that she was just being distracted or not worrying that Jesus was in the house. I think she knew he was in the house, and she wanted to give him, you know, the best. And so she says, don't you care that... that I'm doing all the work. And he told her what Mary's doing is a good thing. He said, you're distracted by much, you know, but what Mary's doing is a good thing, and it will not be taken from her. You know, sometimes we can get like Martha, you know, so many things going on, you know. Sometimes I tell people I feel like a chicken with its head cut off, or I feel like I meet myself, you know, I feel like I meet myself coming and going. And, you know, if we don't get in a, again, too big of a hurry, you know, I might get pulled over, but might get pulled over, but yeah. Amen. Thank God for warnings. And that wasn't me this morning, but amen. I'm not going to tell off about anybody. Amen. Amen. But I was right behind her this morning. You know, it is, you know, with our jobs, with our family, with our, you know, whatever, it seems like we're running. And then, you know, even even what we feel like we're doing God's work, you know, and it's almost an oxymoron or, you know, ironic to make a statement that you can get too busy, you know, doing God's work. The enemy, you know, the enemy will keep you busy, keep you running. And he knows that if you're always going to, you know, and you say, well, why is that a bad thing? Because if you're always going and pouring out, you never take the time to get filled back up. And, you know, pickup, you put gas in it, it's going to go for about 450, 500 miles, but then it's going to need a refill. Yeah. It's going to need a refill. And so we can, you know, we can have the word in us. We can, you know, go out and share the word, go out and do this and do that. But guess what? We have to get filled. You know, and Jesus even did that. He would minister to the multitudes during the day, and then he would go off and get with the Father, you know. And that's another example. Like Mary and Martha, that's another example of getting connected. You know, Jesus would stop what he was doing. He'd go away from the multitudes and, you know, get connected to the Father. And so, you know, it's okay to have a job. It's okay to have a family and those things. It's okay to do ministry, but we also have to make sure that we are staying connected ourselves, that we're staying built up and not getting ran down. You know, sometimes we get so caught up, and then at the end of the day, you come to that realization, I didn't even tell God good morning. I didn't even tell him good morning, you know. And you know, and then sometimes you get so tired at the end of the day, you're like, oh, I'll talk to you tomorrow, God. But, you know, you want to get up and get connected, you know, before you go to bed. Stay connected. And, you know, so many times we, you know, how many, you know, most days we don't go very long without calling our best friends, you know, on the phone or going to their house or going hanging out with them and stuff. And so just as we, you know, just as we make time for them, we got to make time for God. One thing that happens whenever we stay connected to God is we really find out who he is. We get to know more than just the written word. You know, we have to know. Yes, we have to know the written word, but it's the written, the living word that makes the written word come to life. And, you know, if we don't know the living word, then all we have is a book of promises that we're not going to understand, we're not going to, you know, stand on. And, but when we're connected to him, one thing, there's an exchange that happens. We know who we are and we know who he is. And one of my favorite scriptures, and I've used it here a couple times, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so, you know, that's just an example. How did, you know, he wasn't just walking down the street one day and God said, "Oh, you know, that's my son, the Messiah." You know, the Bible said that Peter, or no, that was David, but just like David, I believe Peter was after God's own heart. You know, he loved Jesus, and you know, it was that time. It was just that time in the presence, just that time seeking, being connected to the Father. And it was through that connection with the Father that he got the revelation and the insight of who Jesus was. Hey, this isn't just a man. This isn't just the rabbi. This ain't just a teacher. This is, you know, the Messiah that's been promised. And so, you know, further on down, you know, Jesus tells him, he says, you are Peter. You are Peter. And on this rock I built my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail. And so there's an exchange that happens. When we get connected to God, we find out, we get revelation of who the Son is. And when we get a revelation of who Jesus is, we get a revelation of who we are. Amen. You know, I was thinking about when children are little, you know, they always say, teach them 911. Teach them how to call 911. Teach them their name. Teach them their address. You know, in case they ever get lost in Walmart or wherever. Teach them their address so that they know who they are, where they're from. Make sure they know their name and stuff. And this is on a whole different level. This is on a spiritual level of knowing who Jesus is and knowing who we are. And so, you know, that only comes through revelation. I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't know the plans God has for me. I don't know this. And, you know, my first question is, well, have you talked to him lately? You know, and, you know, they'll say, I ask him all the time. And I'm like, well, you ask him all the time, but do you spend time with him to get the answer? You know, are you staying connected to him? And so we have to stay connected, like, just like that. And this is a good place to think about.